Grace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight there is blood all over the place. There's blood in our liturgy. There's blood in our hymns. There's blood in our scripture readings. But you need to look underneath all of that blood by hearing the word of God to find that there is a lot more here than meets the eye, especially this night. It's sad that you can't be here tonight to enjoy the Lord's Supper, because that's what today is about. This is the day when he gave it to us. Our Old Testament reading really sets the stage. It's about that first Passover. The Lord had brought 9 plagues upon Egypt, each one more vicious than the one before. And each one, a venomous, insulting attack against one of the gods of Egypt. But now comes the 10th plague. Pharaoh had declared himself God on earth, and his son, the Son of God. The 10th plague will be the last one. You know the account. To every house not protected by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord would come and strike that house. But he passed over those covered by the blood of the Lamb. This was such a critical, pinnacle, and important event that God commanded that it should be remembered every year as the major festival, the major annual holiday or event of the Jewish faith. God wanted it to be kept in their minds, to remind them of what he had done, and to keep in their minds so that when he did what he would do, they would see it. Dwelling on only the blood and the violence of that plague and that event, it might actually cause you to question and to wonder what kind of God wants such things. All the blood and the gore, it shocks our eyes at times. I mean, what kind of God would bring that kind of wrath? But then look a little deeper. There's more here than meets the eye. After Moses announced the Passover and what God's requirements were for that night, Scripture records the people bowed their heads and worshiped. They recognized that when the Lord speaks, you don't question, you worship. It would be only a short time after this event, they would be at Mount Sinai, and God would give them those 10 commandments, and what is the first? This very one: you shall have no other gods. The Lord said concerning the Passover, on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The 10th plague was divine warfare against all of the stone and wood false gods of Egypt. It was also war on those who were oppressing his chosen people. And later in Exodus, God would say, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." You see, what that means is under all of the Egyptian blood, all of those firstborn who died, you shouldn't see innocent victims. The word of God was right before them. That great nation of Israel living in Goshen was right there among them. The word of God was before them. They rejected it. All of God's acts of judgment, from the flood to the Passover to the conquest of Canaan, the promised land, are intended to warn us of the consequences of our sin. When God judges, bad things happen. Those judgments that we see in the Old Testament are previews of the final judgment. That's the kind of judgment you deserve. For all of your sins, for every time you have not feared, loved, and trusted in the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, you deserve the same thing. Israel, in fact, deserved the same fate as the Egyptians. But now look at the blood of the Passover lamb and see more than meets the eye. The blood of the lamb would appear to be a horrible mess, stains on your house. But God attached his word of grace to that lamb's blood and thereby gave his people a way of salvation. Under the blood of the Passover lamb, you don't find any worthiness in Israel, but only the promise of deliverance from a gracious and merciful God. That leads us to find, again, more than meets the eye in the upper room, when Jesus is celebrating Passover with his disciples. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus is enjoying the Passover meal. And so Israel's deliverance from Egypt was in view, and the recently shed blood of the Passover lamb would be fresh in the disciples' minds. They had this very afternoon slaughtered the lamb, as had been done since the time of Moses, to eat that Passover meal. You know that these disciples had celebrated this meal from when they were wee little tykes, year after year, over and over again. They would have known the Passover liturgy by heart. They could have recited it themselves. They didn't need a book. They didn't need to follow along. They knew it. They knew it well. They always knew what was coming next. But there would be more than meets the eye here, when Jesus, the Lord of Israel, changed the liturgy. The Bible records, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and, after blessing it, gave it to them. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. The prayers are all pre-described. The words that are said are all pre-defined. You just do exactly what you do, and this is what Jesus was doing. No surprises. But then he says, "Take this. This is my body." The disciples had to look at one another and think, "Did he forget how this goes? That's not part of the liturgy." But Jesus slips right back into the liturgy of the Passover and into the regular thing. He takes that cup, the final third cup of the Passover, the cup of redemption, the cup of forgiveness. And he gives thanks using the traditional prayers that are supposed to be said during the Passover meal, and he gives it to him, and it all seems like it's back to normal. Maybe he just slipped up. But then he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." He messed up the liturgy again. Of course, Jesus isn't doing anything by accident, and he's not making mistakes, and he didn't forget the Passover liturgy. This unprecedented Passover meal is where Jesus is teaching three things to his disciples. First, this: soon his body would be given and his blood shed, nailed to rough posts as he is hung out in the desert to die. But he just told them they should see his death as a ransom, like the Passover lambs throughout all the generations were ransoms. He now gives his life as a ransom for all humanity. This is God's final judgment on sin, and from that day forward, the only sin that condemns us to hell remains rejecting Jesus and the death he gave for you. The second thing that Jesus would teach us is that there is more than meets the eye under this simple bread and wine. This is no longer the Passover meal to remember back. This is now an active and effective means. Now, by the power of his word, the bread and the wine are the means by which he delivers to you his true and real body, his true and real blood. The bread and the wine are simply the means by which that is carried to your mouth. By his words, on this very night, he instituted the Lord's Supper for his church to proclaim his death until he comes. And the third thing Jesus is teaching is the Passover and the sacrificial system, the system of sacrifices for sins, we're over. Jesus, tomorrow, on Friday, a day we call Good Friday, will make that one time, final and for all, perfect sacrifice for all sin. The Old Testament ceremonies must give way to his New Testament given to us in his blood. The word of God was fulfilled when the holy, spotless Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, offered his life as a ransom for us, so that sinners would not have to get what they deserve. But instead, what Jesus had earned for them. You see, everything in the Old Testament, everything was pointing forward to the coming of one we now know was given the name Jesus. Known to foreigners as Jesus of Nazareth. There's another particular part of the Old Testament that finds its fulfillment here in these events. The Lord had told Israel these things: if anyone of the house of Israel or a stranger who is among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among the people. In the Old Testament, blood was sacrosanct. God continues, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your life. The blood of the animals in the Old Testament was reserved for one thing, payment for sin. But that prohibition on consuming it would end with the institution of the Lord's Supper. The New Testament in Christ's blood now is what feeds us. And it will continue to feed us until Christ returns. It is the atonement, his blood, fed to God's people in, with, and under the wine of his holy meal. What is in that blood that doesn't meet the eye? Is there really more than meets the eye? You know what's in that blood? Life. Life. Life eternal. The blood of Jesus delivers to us the forgiveness of sins and serves as the antidote to death. God said, the life is in the blood. And that is what Jesus' disciples received that very night, as the life-giving blood of Jesus was given to them in the Lord's Supper. As you come to faith in Jesus, to feed on his body and his blood shed for you, remember that in that Jesus has given a promise, and it is this: whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus continues, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.